There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need.
We've got all the experience in the world. This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
All right, we're down to four in the National Football League. Welcome in. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. Our executive producer is Ryan Bershinger. Hit Mike up at Swollen Dome. You can find me at Dan Beyer on Fox and get Ryan at Ryan Bershinger. This on X, formerly known as Twitter. And yeah, guys, we are down to four. A battle of one versus three seeds. And I thought we had three pretty good games this past weekend. One score games in the final three. The first one I don't think we need to spend a ton of time with, but that's where we're going to start. Texans and Ravens. I don't even know, Mike, if it was as close as the score indicated. At halftime, it felt like it was a football game, but the Texans offense really never got going. Lamar was great, and the Ravens roll on to the AFC Championship.
Suffocating Ravens defense. Obviously, the punt return for a touchdown. I mean, I celebrated it for what it was, seeing as most everything is a fair catch or on kickoffs, it roll, you know, goes flying through the end zone. So the fact that we actually had a return for more than 4 yards or a fall down effort is always exciting. But yeah, at halftime, it's like, all right, I'm sure the people in Baltimore were puckering up a little bit given playoffs had passed. But then Lamar Jackson did some superhuman things and you get yourself a laugher. But you know, when it's all said and done, a great year for the Texans. A lot of exciting moments. Now we'll see what happens with Slowick in the coaching process. Ravens with the coordinators of their own to worry about going forward. But, you know, up ahead, another game and rolling along, maintaining that home field advantage.
I felt, sorry to jump in, Bursch, but I felt the bar was so low for Lamar Jackson in this game in terms of what he needed to accomplish. And I don't think that we have solved anything with Lamar Jackson or this version of the Ravens, for that matter, with this win against the Texans. Like, the only thing that matters is what's coming up on Sunday. Right. And that's the one weird thing that I thought coming out of this game was there was the, see, you know, look what Lamar Jackson was able to do. Great game, no doubt about it. And Texans were coming in rolling. But this was a team that also has won a playoff game before. You know, they went to Tennessee and beat the Titans a few years ago, and then they lost to the Bills in that, you know, divisional playoff game. But still, it wasn't just winning a playoff game. And when you have a bye, this is something that you should have done. I just felt like the bar was extremely low. And while Jackson was great in the game, I don't think that he changed anything. But for some reason, I feel that there's this narrative that, you know, he answered the bell and he rang the bell and showed what he can do. And I didn't get that sense that that's what he did on Saturday.
Yeah, I think on one hand, we kind of underestimated the Ravens a little bit, given the way that we kind of prognosticated this game. And I said that the Ravens would win outright, but I was taking the Texans plus 9.5. And I also said that I thought C.J. Stroud was going to have a much better fantasy day than Lamar Jackson, and that wasn't even close to being the case. To your point, Dan, I think that it's hard to say that we really learned that much about the Ravens, because this is what they should have done, and quite frankly, they were not really challenged. Like, as you said, it was not nearly as close as the score indicated. The fact that their one touchdown from the Texans came on special teams, it was just they were completely outmatched, and as they really should have been. The Ravens are very good, but it really is still hard to tell exactly if they are, in fact, the hands-down Super Bowl favorites. It's going to depend on what they do against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think when you get back into Lamar stuff, right, we parse it out, and it seems like we've got a million statisticians waiting to give you every permutation of how someone's setting a record. Right. Okay.
Sure.
This is the first time this player or anything. Right. The Shanahan 0-for-31. Right. Was it? Five plus going into the fourth. Like, we have all of these data points that we're marching to. But two rushing, two passing, the 100+ passer rating, all of that stuff. You exceeded expectations of the game, right, in terms of a statistical output. But the result of the game is what we expected. So at this point, it's the do it again, right? It's like coming out of the regular season. If the Cowboys had won their first playoff game, we would have still shrugged for Dak Prescott and everybody else, right? It's not about winning a wild card round. It's not about winning a divisional round. Your legacy is how many Super Bowls conference championship games do you get to? That's where we're talking about, you know, separating you from everybody else that plays in your era. And for Lamar Jackson, he's got to go and do it again against a team that never says die.
The bar truly was, don't F it up. Like, just don't lay an egg. And I feel, you know, Mikey, you alluded to the first half, and the Texans did have an opportunity if Fairbairn makes a field goal to grab a lead. But again, I don't know how in jeopardy they were, but that's more of Baltimore, like, just not Baltimore laying an egg, basically. And that's all that it was. And then when they didn't lay an egg, we're like, oh, there it is. Look at that. That's the Ravens. They didn't suck. You know, I just think, like what are we doing here? Like, this is if and I think that they are the best. You did answer Bursch's question. Like, I think that they are. Maybe that was rust in the first half. Maybe that's just getting used to, you know, getting back into the grind, and that happens, and so be it. If that's the case against the, you know, they run over the Chiefs, we're going to really give them their flowers. I just felt like we were, when they didn't lay an egg, we were like, wow, there it is. All right, there it is. See, the Ravens did what they did. And I just think that judgment is not only next week, but if they win next week, you know, they're definitely in Super Bowl 58. That's my takeaway from Ravens and Texans.
No, I think 100%, right? It's you did what was expected. Like, Smith got all mad at me, and we'll talk about the Lions game in earnest. But just coming out of last week, you know, doing appreciation moments, kind of like the Jimmy Fallon thank you notes and whatever, giving a little bit of love to positivity. And he's like, well, coach of the year was over. I'm like, they were expected. I think we all expected punditry. Whatever Vegas's odds were didn't matter. In the echo chamber of sports talk radio and television, we expected the Lions to be good. So the bar was a lot higher than what a 25-1 odds was set, at least in my mind. Likewise with the Ravens. It was keep Lamar healthy, and if Lamar's healthy, they will be playing meaningful football late in January. That was it.
And boom, Here they are, late January, playing meaningful football. The next topic of conversation is one that Ryan Bershinger may want to forget. I'll let you have the floor, Bersh, because you are the resident Packers fan. You leave that game on Saturday night, watching the Niners score with a minute left, and then have Jordan Love throw that interception. How do you feel as a Packers fan? Is there any moral victory, or is it worse than you even thought?
I think it ultimately comes down to disappointment, because I think we already had the moral victory. Just getting to this point, I think, was the moral victory. And as you know, we talked about last week, you know, I'd picked the Niners to win, and I figured that was going to happen, but I didn't think it was going to happen in this manner. And quite frankly, the Niners did not look good for most of that game as a whole. But with the Packers kind of taking the lead early on, with every drive, every time the Niners got the ball back, I'm like, well, this is going to be the drive where that offense explodes, because that's what that offense does. They can explode at any moment. Even with Debo Samuel off the field, somebody on that team can break one off. And that's what happened in the first half, when they were like, hey, we have Christian McCaffrey, let's give him the ball. And he just runs it up the middle and scores a touchdown from 20 yards out. And like, that was what I kind of figured was, once that happened, I'm like, all right, well, the second half, they're going to do more of that. And that's just how it's going to be. But then you have the Niners. I don't know what they were thinking, the way they handled the clock at the end of the first half. They got the ball back with 4 minutes, with all three timeouts, and they came away with a blocked field goal. Like, they ran that entire 4 minutes as if they were up by three touchdowns late in the fourth quarter. They were running time off the clock. They ran it down to the 2 minute. They continued to run the time down. And I'm sure the thought process was, well, we're going to get the ball back to start the second half. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do that, then why aren't you like trying to score a touchdown? It was baffling to me. So I'm like, all right, this is great, because not only like the Packers are looking like the better team right now, but the Niners are kind of beating themselves here. And then they come out to start the second half and they don't score. And I'm like, this is set up wonderfully.
Well, yeah. Especially after you then take possession after the punt and score on your first possession.
Yeah. I'm like, this is great. But there was still just this kind of overall looming sense of like, well, the Niners can at any given point take this game and win. And that's what happened. And something that's not being mentioned very much at all, but when Zach Tom got hurt and was taken out of that game in the second half, Jordan Love was bad. After that, he couldn't do anything. That's when the interceptions came. That, of course, the last drive. But like, you know, that was just kind of a mess. And I write that off to kind of a learning experience for Jordan Love. overall, that offensive line was controlling that Niners defensive front for much of that game. And when Zach Tom went out, that's when things really started to fall apart. So overall, it's disappointing, because they could have won that game. The Niners did not look good very much for much of that game. And I know, like, as Rich Davis has mentioned, people have mentioned, Niners fans are kind of freaking out, because if that carries into next game, you've got to have more than one good drive from Brock Purdy. So overall, it is a disappointment, because during the fourth quarter, I started thinking like, oh man, like if they win this game, they could beat the Lions. They could get to the Super Bowl, and you don't know if you're going to get back here, even though it's the youngest team in the league. And that's where the disappointment started to set in, once you realize just how winnable that game was. But it's, you know, you still definitely feel great about the team moving forward. But yeah, it's a tough way to go, unfortunately.
Yes. Mike, you're tied into it. No, I was just going to say, I'm curious on what you saw with Green Bay's performance.
Well, very excited it's not an all NFC North NFC title game, for one. We'll get to my theory on Lions football and how they failed America in a little bit, and that it's all everything wrong as we talk about traditions being lost. I mean, them losing was something big. But for the Packers, obviously, you look at Jordan Love, and on balance, you have greatness. You have the miss from Carlson. We talked about it a lot. Smith and I on the show brought in the Rinaldi quote that LaFleur got all mad about. It's like, you know what? Don't say that then. Don't talk about praying when your kicker is grossly inefficient from 41 yards and further. Don't bring that up when asked about it in your pregame meetings. Or, you know what, go find another kicker. if you don't trust the guy, because that's a big play. But also, Joe Barry's defense failed, right? You'd done a good job against Brock Purdy. He looked everything that people had said negatively about Brock Purdy was on full display for three quarters plus, right? Debo Samuel goes out 50-50 for the NFC title game, but they've got to change up their play calling, change up some of those tertiary options, etc. But you've done well to control that defense. And now you need to stop, and you lay down, right? They run right over you. Purdy suddenly is hitting every throw, making plays with his legs, and there goes the game. So, you know, it's not just the kicking game, but also the defense. The Jordan Love throw is obviously inexplicable given down, distance, circumstance, etc. I'm glad I didn't have volume where I was, because I'm sure the announcer said, oh, he'd like to have that one back. So, you know, all of those kind of things. But, you know, We always hear people saying, and we talked about it a little bit last week, you know, the old, we're playing with the house money. It's like, no, you're expecting to win. Like, you're not – you don't play these games for giggles. Like, wow, we made it another round. Throw some crazy stuff up on that board. Let's see what happens. No. There's a game plan. You go and execute it, and for most of a game, and what do we say, 57 minutes, 56 minutes, wherever you want to draw that line, you were the better squad. So that one's got to hurt, as opposed to the spread was 9.5 and you got worked. If you got worked, you know there's still distance. Yeah. There's thing to work up.
Yeah. I'll say this about, at least from the Packer point of view, what probably stings the most is that you lost to the Niners in the playoffs again.
Yeah. Well, sure. The historical part of it, no question.
Yeah. I think that plays into it. Mm. You're right. I actually had the same thoughts as Bursch had of, if they get through this game, and we didn't know what the Lions-Buccaneers outcome at the time was going to be. But either outcome was not daunting, considering Green Bay won there on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And you're going to Tampa then for an NFC championship game, which, you know, wouldn't be half bad. The bugaboo that is the 49ers, I think, really sticks in their side. But on the 49ers side of things, that is a front-running defense. If you're in a game with them and you're balanced and you're doing what you're doing, they are not as daunting. And you know how I know this? Fantasy football. Mm-hmm. I had the Niners as a team defense. You know, and down the stretch, you're thinking, oh, Washington, big game, let's bring it in. And it wasn't there. They weren't able to touch Love. You said that, you know, when Zach Tom went out, how Green Bay was affected. But, yeah, it's up until that point. And that has been a problem with that defense. When you're up 14, guess what? Ears are pinned back. Let's go, and let's go after them. But if you're in a 50-50 game, that defense right now is not being a decision maker, unless Jordan Love's going to throw across his body, you know, 20 yards downfield with three 49ers in the area. That is the big concern that I have with San Francisco, and especially if you don't have Debo Samuel. You're not going to be in a game where you can be up 10 or 14 points and allow that defense to pin their ears back.
49ers finished 10th in fantasy points for defense.
Yeah. I was so excited. Somebody let them go, and I went and claimed them in my league. And I was just like, all right, good things to come. And, I mean, they were okay in spots, you know, turnovers here and there. But by no means was it the machine that I thought, and then you just start to pay more attention. And there's a lot of names and a lot of name value, but Nick Bosa is the only one who's getting after the quarterback right now and stopping the run. Heck, Aaron Jones had the, you know, big 53-yard run that I thought if he goes to the house, and I know it wasn't close, but still, I'm like, man, you want to talk about, like, backbreaker. Like, there that would be. But, yeah, I'm not impressed with the 49ers defense.
Yeah, let's talk about him for a second. Aaron Jones. Mm-hmm. I want what he had. Like, whatever he got 5.5 weeks ago into his system, whatever rest, hyperbaric chamber, perfect oxygen, an IV, whatever. I want that. Mm. I mean, my God. Like, because remember that at the beginning of the season, he and A.J. Dillon couldn't fall forward.
Yeah.
And then he missed his time, and then the last 5 weeks, he's Superman. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, looked incredible. Only two rushing touchdowns through the season, and he had two in his first game in the playoffs. So, an incredible showing from Aaron Jones. Even like Emmanuel Wilson behind him when he had to get work instead of A.J. Dillon. He got some good runs. The receiving corps was great. Romeo Doubs had some really nice catches in the Niners game. And a shout out to Eric Wilson on special teams, getting on that fumble
recovery.
Yeah, that was incredible. Like that was amazing, because you know we've had weird special teams things. I think of Brandon Bostic, which
Dan.
I think of moments like that where we see that all the time on onside kicks or people trying to recover fumbles. We saw it in the Chiefs Bills games where if for whatever reason recovering a fumble seems like the hardest thing for people to do sometimes. Eric Wilson came flying in and flawlessly got on top of that.
He made a Bostic reference, but when Dre Greenlaw was not going down, I heard some Morgan Burnett references as well. Like Morgan Burnett needs to tell him how to slide and that sort of thing. Another Seahawks.
I was just waiting for one
reference.
Of his teammates to blast him to the ground. Yeah. Just get your ass to the ground. We're done with this game.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. Well, we'll get more on the Niners as they got the Lions coming up. We're going to dive into the games that happened on Sunday and then look ahead to the championship weekend. He's Mike Harmon. That's Ryan Bershinger. I'm Dan Beyer. That's all next year on I Want Your Flex.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, Sunday was a fun day with two interesting games, I guess, with the Lions and Buccaneers. Do we start with the ending? Do we start with the kneel down controversy? Or do we actually talk about the other 59 minutes of that football game? Because unfortunately, I'm still thinking about what happened at the end of the game at Ford Field with the kneel down and the timeouts and whatnot. Might as well. Let's just start there with the Lions. Or, big deal, no deal, little deal. We always play that game on Doug Gottlieb's show. Mike Harmon, are you hung up on the ending of the game as much as I am?
I'm hung up on the end of the game and just clock running related to resetting a ball and the play clock in general. I don't know if I paid attention to it more in these games this weekend. It's like, all right, the play whistled here, right? That he's down. And now it takes us forever to go and spot it and blow the whistle to get the play clock going. And in between some 7 to 10 seconds is run off the game clock. I don't know. Psychologically, there's having problems with that. But certainly the end of game situation, like, hasn't every team hired someone to help in this process to get that math right? To get you down to 1 or 2 seconds before you snap and instead of opening the door. And the Todd Bowles explanation of it all, if, hey, you know, they were set up for a field goal, whatever. It's 47 yards. Now, if you'd called the timeout, is it different? Do they run an actual play versus kneel downs? We can get into all that. But like, anytime you do a concession, I'm like, I want you fired. Like, you've quit. Like, you've shown me. Like, we weren't going to get the – we weren't going to do anything anyway. So, you know, even if there was time on the clock, forget about it. Yeah, both sides, epic fail.
I don't think that they realized it. Unless there was something that was said or popped up. I don't know, Birch, if you heard anything. I don't think either team really realized what was going on.
And well, Bowles claimed to, Dan.
I know.
He claimed to.
And it doesn't make any sense.
No.
It doesn't. Like, there's no sportsmanship to it. If Detroit messes up like they did and Bowles calls a timeout, there isn't one person on Monday or Tuesday that's talking about the poor sportsmanship of Todd Bowles. They're talking about Dan Campbell and the atrocious you know, usage of kneel downs and how that was done. And I think here's why I think it's a bigger deal. Because, and it does go back to the kneecaps. It does go back to biting kneecaps and changing a culture. There is a meathead aspect to this, right? I mean, that's what it is. And I'm not saying that Dan Campbell is not smart. I'm not saying that at all. However, when you have these details, you're like, well, of course, you know, they're worried about biting kneecaps and not, you know, when to take a knee on a certain play. The whole stadium is celebrating, but they're celebrating because it's been how long? It's the sideline's responsibility to be like, okay, we got to make sure that we can celebrate.
Right.
How Jared Goff misses this, I have no idea. This isn't his first rodeo by any means. How anybody on that sideline would think that it would be, all right, well, we'll just take a quick knee so we can celebrate sooner, just doesn't make any sense to me. Plus, you missed the instant replay call earlier in the game on the play before the Rashad White touchdown, where you should have reviewed yep. Baker being down by contact, which could have changed the game. So now you kind of look foolish in that regard. Yeah, just a really bad look by Detroit, and these are things that most teams don't miss, but for some reason they're missing. That's why I do think it's a bigger deal than maybe people want to let on.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think that's what happened. I think nobody realized, and it just happened. I can relate it to what we did, Dan, where you were on air at the time. I was producing your show, and we have Chris Perfett on the board, noted Lions super fan, Pride of Detroit podcast host, and he is celebrating the second they got the interception. And he's very excited, and so you, and rightfully so, you bring Chris right on to talk about it as they're kneeling down, the celebration's going on, they're winning the game, everything's good. What we didn't realize the clock issue either, because we also don't have the sound on the TV. I don't know if the broadcast mentioned it.
I don't think they did.
Yeah,
they didn't.
Yeah. Well, what's funny, though, and I'll give them credit. Normally, I go out of my way to kill my on-air host partner, Jason Smith, in our weeknight show. He's texting me as this happening. He goes, why are they screwing up the clock? It's like, why are they snap? Like, why? It's like, what? Like, in real time, like, I can go back to it. And it's like, I don't know. They're conceding? I don't know. Question mark.
Yeah.
So, but we had the virtue, like, sound, and they're talking about the play clock, but they didn't talk about it in terms of any kind of questioning of it.
No. Right? Mike Tirico is trying to think of some witty way to say that Detroit.
Yes.
I'm about up to here with Tirico. I know people love him, but I just like the I'm so smooth, I'm going to slide in, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm going to make this reference and bring it back. Like, no, you just be like, what are the Lions doing right now? Like, why are they snapping the football? That's all you have to say. How none of them got it, I have no idea.
I'm not going to lie to you. Whenever there's more than one game on, there's no sound on anything on my TV. I'm listening to music while I'm watching, so I normally don't hear it. And I see the back and forth about Tirico, or every once in a while, if there's a particularly inane conversation between Nance and Romo, I'll get a heads up from someone about how bad it's getting. So I'll turn the sound back on. But otherwise, like, just for that purpose, I like when I'm in my bubble of the studio where I'm not hearing it. In this case, if they'd actually been on it, yeah, it would have been useful, but they weren't.
Well, as Burr said, we were on the air, so we didn't hear it either. But I know, like, I had read comments, people like, yeah, NBC didn't even mention anything about it. They're just, you know, ready to, you know, grab the scene because that's a better scenario.
Sure.
And again, it's, you know, this is making Michael Badgley kick a 48 or 49-yard field goal. By the way, I would have punted if I was...
Well, that's the other thing, right? The pooch punt was in play as well, yeah.
That's what I would have done. I would have just tried to, I don't know, take a punt and just try to kick a line drive grounder. I don't, you know, like some sort of rugby kick, or do whatever you can do. But yeah, I wouldn't even have attempted to kick a field goal in that scenario. I would have just said, all right, now you don't have any timeouts. Now try to go 20 yards or, you know, 80 yards, 90 yards in 20 seconds and then do it there. But yeah, I think it's a bigger picture sort of thing. We get so wrapped up into the Lions and into the story, and I do think that they are a good football team, but there are gaps, and I think that is a huge gap. I almost blame Goff more than, you know, just as much as I blame Campbell or anybody else, or, you know, Ben Johnson, who's, you know, the apple of everyone's eye. This would be the one thing I would be asking him in his second interview, is to be like, how the heck did that slide? You know, can you give me a little info in there? But otherwise, Lions offensively doing their thing again. Jahmyr Gibbs bursting onto the scene. Sam Laporta and his one leg still, you know, of value. You know, offensively, I love that game against the Niners that they're going to have. But I had no problems with the Lions in what they did and how they played and how they responded. Defense, I think, has some holes, but offensively, they provided everything that we thought they would.
Yeah, what was interesting to me, I mean, I tweeted it out, you know, poetic that, you know, offensively they just feasted over the middle all day, and Tampa had no answer for that. It started to out according to the script that I thought if Tampa's going to win this game, and then Dean drops the interception in the end zone. Now it's 3 points instead of seven, but it's still a turnover, and maybe doubt seeps in, whatever the case may be. But living over the middle all day long, free runners, and then defensively you seal it with Mayfield trying to thread something over the middle, and Gardner Johnson gets them, and then they have their back and forth and whatever else. But offensively, you know, just finding space, and if you don't get pressure on Goff, he'll pick you apart.
Yeah,
I mean, especially with Amon-Ra St. Brown running crisp routes, and as you mentioned, Laporta on his one leg, like how he's run around. Ragnow, I mean, guy who's probably, you know, the wacky doctor's game operation if we were to do a true scan of his body right now. Yeah, he sprained this, he sprained that, he missed three plays. Let's go. You know, it's like that kind of thing. This winning time thing, next level.
If the Lions make the Super Bowl, do you want to do a Ragnow parody song to Ragdoll?
I like that. Ragnow?
Do you know the song Ragdoll, Burge? Or are you
I do.
Okay, all right. I didn't know if it was a courtesy laugh, but just because I know it came out years before you were even born. But thank you then for appreciating the joke.
Yes, I'm moving, heading to Vegas.
It's not the Super Bowl shuffle, but maybe it can work. What about the nightcap that we had, Chiefs Bills? What can you say as Kansas City goes to Buffalo and and shatters the dreams once again of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
I just will go to wrestling parlance. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And until you go and take it from Patrick Mahomes, he's going to find a way to gut you. And the image of the game for me, you know, everybody will look at Tyler Bass. I'm going to look at two images of Stephon Diggs. One where the ball drifts harmlessly through his hand some 60 yards down the field, and the other where the quarterback doesn't even look at him.
Yeah.
And instead goes down the middle to Shakir and throws a terrible pass.
Doug said to me on the show on Monday, he said, you know, the Bills, they played without their wide receiver too. And I said, they didn't have their wide receiver one either because he was a no-show.
Yeah.
Heck, he fumbled on the first play of the game.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then they got the penalty for the batting out of bounds. My lasting image, remember Chris Jones holding out?
Sure.
And then he gets paid on that pass, just completely bulldozes Deion Dawkins.
Who did a lot of chirping.
Who had some chirping.
Yep.
And got enough in the back. Like, that to me was everything coming together at that point. Here's Chris Jones, who wanted the money, who was going to hold out. We knew that the Chiefs needed him. Boy, did they need him, especially in the biggest game. And the guy who chirps is the one who's being rocked. And then Allen gets hit, and it's on him because the ball just flutters short into the, like, it's, there was so much on that second down play. And that's the point, too, where you have it, and you're like, okay, they're not going to win this game. That play doesn't, you know, isn't completed. You're not going to win that game. You're not going to make another play to do it. It was at that point. Even the Tyler Bass missed field goal. And again, the Chiefs were the better team throughout the game. So we're talking about Buffalo trying to almost steal one at home. But it's that Chris Jones play and backing up and getting into to Allen's grill with Deion Dawkins as the lunch meat in between is being my lasting image of that game.
Yeah, I think especially the way the Bills kind of played in the second half really showed that they were ultimately not going to win that game. I think of that last drive where obviously, yeah, sure, they're setting up for the field goal, but their first play, they run a 1 yard loss, and then and back to back plays, instead of opting for guys open over the middle who can move the ball closer for the field goal, just takes deep shots that had no business of going anywhere. And then because of that, I don't really put everything on Josh Allen. I think he overall had a solid game. It's just, yeah, there were a lot of things where teammates really did not provide the help that you would expect to see from a lot of these guys. Stephon Diggs is going to be a really wild conversation because, like, looking at fantasy wise next year, like, where does he go? Because you're not going to feel comfortable.
He ain't showing up in our top 60 at the end of the season.
No, I can tell you that.
And that is wild.
Dead cap hit of $31 million for 2024.
Yeah, that's just that's crazy. But just overall, I think you can't help but feel for the Bills for sure. But I do think because of their season as a whole, I get that a lot of people are like, well, this was their best shot just because of the fact that the Chiefs weren't as good this year. But also the Bills were not as good this year. Like, they were 500 for much of the season. They were 6-6 at one point and then still ended up in the 2 seed because they won a couple games that they needed to. But so overall, the Bills were also really not as strong as they have been in the past. So it was hard for me to feel like, well, this is really their year. It was just, well, this is the year where the rest of the competition isn't as tight as it usually is. And as we saw, the Chiefs defense is still very good, and Patrick Mahomes can turn it on at any time because that's who he is.
Well, you missed some opportunities for sure. I mean, like, there were open receivers, open opportunities, and plays that weren't made, as well as Allen played overall and obviously making plays with his legs. James Cook was a non-factor in the second half. So you've got that. The Stephon Diggs disappearing act continued. But it is the point of, all right, here's the AFC. Ravens are over here by themselves. Everything else is kind of middled. Chiefs, we've seen, 44 passes, I think, dropped was the number coming into the game. Other than giving the ball to Mecole Hardman, which, again, we can all talk about, what are we doing here? And even, look, the Bills on the fake punt, giving the ball to Hamlin.
Yeah.
Right call, wrong play, 10 men on the field for the Chiefs. So, like, none of it worked. But, like, looking at, and the salary cap is easily manipulated. We know this, right? You spread money out, whatever else. But they've got a lot of that they need to do. Hmm. And that Diggs hit, whatever it is, whether he's with your squad or you have to make concessions to get rid of him or whatever the case is. Like, he wasn't happy coming back, right? Because he took his shots at everybody last year, comes back in and has an uneven year. Because there were catches he made during the year, guys. Like, I don't know many receivers that can go after a ball and snare it with the hand strength and whatever. And then there's others like that deep ball. Like, Allen couldn't have rolled that to him any better, right? Defenders falling down and the thing literally flies through his hands. Like, the number one receiver on the worst team in the NFL makes that catch. Mm. The number two on a lot of teams makes that catch. In a big moment, you didn't come up big. Because I saw people taking shots at Allen's stats. I'm like, well, add 60 off a ball that should have been caught.
Sure.
Right? All of a sudden, we're at 250. Does that make you feel better?
Right.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, he also is their running game. And I know that James Cook is James Cook, but James Cook doesn't do what he does without Josh Allen being the threat that he is in both the running and passing game.
100%.
I find it interesting, and we'll wrap up this game with this. Do you think that they win a Super Bowl in Allen's career? Let's just say the next 5 years.
As of now, no.
I don't think so either.
I think there's too much on that roster that needs to be changed, and even the guy calling the shots. I don't know.
And 5 years is actually probably a better way to do it, because then Josh Allen's going to be 32, 33 years old. At that point, your game is different, so you're going to have to change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They use their tight ends so much. I wonder if you go, like, let's Patriot this up. Let's do double tight ends. We're going to have Dalton Kincaid, let's add another one, have some other deep threats. I don't know, maybe that's counterproductive because you need some room for Allen to run, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, I did see a graphic that for Allen, since his drafting in 2018, obviously they brought Diggs in, but they've only drafted one wide receiver and then the two tight ends in the first four rounds.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, Shakir was his most viable weapon. Yeah,
I love that player, man. I do. Yeah.
Fourth down, a huge conversion with him as well. Like, he was the guy. I think it's going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, also then shows what Kansas City and what they're doing, how impressive it actually is. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into Kansas City and Baltimore, plus that Lions-Niners game. There was your look back at the divisional playoffs. We'll give our thoughts to what's going to happen in championship weekend. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. That's Ryan Bershinger. That's all next when we wrap up. I Want Your Flex.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice,
Yes, it's true.
If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it is Championship Sunday, starts with the Chiefs and Ravens, and then goes into the Lions in San Francisco. That is the way that it should work out, time zone-wise. I know TV networks have a play in how this all works out, but the Chiefs and Ravens will be first up. And I'll be honest, guys, not to be a fence sitter on this, but I am still scratching my head a bit on how these games are going to play out on Sunday. And the reason being is I felt every team in the playoffs kind of showed who they were except one team, and that's Kansas City. Because the Kansas City team that went to Buffalo and played as well as they did has not been the Kansas City team that I feel that we have watched for much of the season. And now I'm wondering to myself, all right, is this the time the 49ers turn it on? Or are the 49ers going to be the same team that I feel that they've been over the last month or so? And the same thing, you know, with the Lions and coming in. All right, you know, for all of the missteps that they have, are they the hot team? Are they going to be able to keep this thing rolling? Kansas City being a different team in the playoffs has got me really questioning what's going to go down on Sunday and Championship Sunday.
To equate it to another sport, right? There's a lot of games. And look, Dan and Ryan, we've been talking a long time and cross sport analogies. The hate watching that began after the initial excitement of the Warriors and the 3-point barrages. But there always seemed to be games where it's like, all right, for the first half, they're kind of just slugging it out and it's a dance. And then at some point, go to the gladiator line of at my signal, unleash hell. And then they have a 45-point third quarter. Like, wondering if there's any of that to be had with the Chiefs regular season versus the playoffs, right? You're playing and you're kind of feeling things out, but now that it's money time, guys are locked in a different way. Not to say you're not trying and looking at I look squarely at the secondary and tertiary receivers, right? Because we all kind of like Pacheco coming into the year, and certainly as he went through the calendar. Rashee Rice got more and more confident. It's like, all right, we like him. Good. Travis Kelce, maybe a battered, bruised, beaten, mid-30s warrior. Maybe we can write a folk song about him at this point. Our Taylor Swift can do that for us. But the idea is, all right, what else is going to come up? But in the playoffs, everybody's locked in. And suddenly balls that were dropped, these guys are taken care of. The extra work on the offensive line, where maybe it wasn't as clean, they've got a killer instinct to get that extra yard and keep driving. That is just a little different. So, like, I don't have a feel. Like, doing the show Fox Football Sunday with Bucky Brooks on Sunday morning, he goes, I can't count them out. Right? It's mm-hmm. weird. He goes, I'm going to pick the Chiefs to win the game. He goes, I don't know why. Except that they've got the guys that have done it. And in a big moment, I trust that they'll be there again.
Verse, go ahead.
I fully agree with what you guys are saying, because this Chiefs team suddenly looks like a team that can win the Super Bowl, and they didn't look like that team at all this year. So now, going into this game, where the Ravens are pretty banged up, Harbaugh was saying today that he's hopeful that Mark Andrews and Marlon Humphrey could come back. And if they're able to get both of them back, that's a huge deal. But not having Humphrey on that secondary would really hurt them. I think I'm ultimately going to pick the Ravens. because I think that they're such an incredibly well-rounded team, and they've been so steady, and Lamar has gotten really better and better over the back half of the season. But it's going to be a close one, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Chiefs end up winning this, because, like I said, this team suddenly looks like a team that can win the Super Bowl, and if they come back with that this week, they can win pretty easily.
They know how to win. Like, they're gonna figure out ways where they can find gaps and find their path. And maybe there aren't a lot of paths against Baltimore, but there were against Buffalo, and it was why the Chiefs were the better team. I mean, heck, the perfect example is Travis Kelce, who's by all our accounts in fantasy was a disappointment this season. Only two games over 100 yards, 5 touchdowns all season. What does he have? 2 touchdowns, you know, leads the Chiefs in receiving, and then you're like, oh yeah, there's Kelce. Can't stop him. Like, it's so frustrating. I do think Baltimore gets it done. I do think this is their opportunity to change that narrative we talked about. And now the bar is really high. Like, you beat a Chiefs team that now has momentum behind them. That's a tough thing to do. I don't know if they need Mark Andrews as much as we maybe think they need. I think it would be a boost. I think maybe morale-wise it would help with them. But I think that Lamar's going to be too much. And, you know, for as much as we talk about Mark Andrews and we talk about Zay Flowers, Odell Beckham Jr.'s been decent. Mm-hmm. You know, Rashad Bateman's, you know, been a guy that they can throw to. So there are pieces there. I'm just now curious to see on how this game management goes, because I do think that it's two teams who are on top of things and will, you know, try to match wits. But I just think Baltimore is ultimately the better team.
Baltimore defense, right? You got players at all levels. Well, I don't know about Humphrey as we sit and record this at this point, whether he's back. Andrews on the offensive side. If nothing else, the red zone gets that much more interesting. You could probably get deeper into the playbook because you got different looks, because you'll have him and Likely, two very large guys to contend with, and then maybe opens more running lanes and whatever you want to do in terms of your playmaking there. And that's the thing. Can the Chiefs make enough play and enough explosive plays against that defense? Because you're not going to bulldoze them. Right, that's the one thing we know when you get down to it with the Baltimore D, you know, they still take on that bully mentality. So I'll pick the Ravens, but again, it's one of those I can't wait to sit and have a nice sudsy drink alongside me and just watch it unfold, because either way, we're getting guys, either Lamar changes the narrative, right, and builds on whatever goodwill last week's win got him. Otherwise, maybe you know, we're getting back to that Patrick Mahomes and people wrecked. Because this year he played really well and nobody cared because it was about what wasn't happening on the scoreboard, right?
Sure.
You know, they weren't putting up 40 points a game. They weren't pinball, whatever. It was like, all right, nice, methodical team defense. Yay. No, now, but when it's winning time, you know, he goes out and makes those plays. And look, it's storybook time one way or the other on the AFC.
First, Chiefs, Ravens. Did you give your pick? I'm sorry.
Yes, I am going Ravens. And I will say, to your point, too, I think Odell is a great daily fantasy play this week.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
It is a fantasy podcast.
We are.
It is. That. Yes, we are. All right, Lions, Niners. We'll do Bursch, Mike, and then I'll wrap it up. What do you like?
I am picking the Lions in this game, actually. I really do think that the Niners kind of sounded a lot of alarms based on the way they played last week. And if you're going into this game with Debo's health in question, I know that he's going to give it an all regardless of whether or not he should. But the way that team performed overall, I mean, granted, yes, Mark Willard did point out on Sunday that the TV did not do the rain justice, that the rain was more of a factor than it seemed watching the game. But I think the Niners show that they are vulnerable, and the Lions are playing at a level where they are, you know, ignoring their surroundings. So they are locked in terms of, you know, actually like getting points on the board and playing well. This Lions, I hate to use the team of destiny phrase, but this kind of really does feel like the Lions aren't going to have anybody stop them. And as good as the Niners are and can be, I think that there was enough shown last week to show that they can very well be beaten. Yes, you can throw on the Lions. Again, fantasy podcast, I think George Kittle is a great play because tight ends throughout the season put up great numbers against the Lions, and Cade Otton just put up great numbers against the Lions. So George Kittle, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes down with like 102 touchdowns. So, but I really do think that the Lions' offense is operating at a level that is very hard to beat right now. So I'm going to pick the Lions.
Goes back to the earlier winning at the line of scrimmage, right? Mm-hmm. When you're talking about Bosa, et cetera. The Detroit offensive line's been fantastic. I know they're down a member, but Ragnow is going to give it the old college try and get himself ready to go.
Sorry.
See, that's the callback. I love it. But it's the idea of, can you get enough defensively on Goff, right, to disrupt him? Because he'll give you an opportunity.
Yes, he will.
But, you know, can you do it consistently? On the other side, is Debo playing or not? Like, as we record this, they say he's a coin toss. He doesn't play. Playbook changes quite a bit, right, in terms of the gadgetry that you can do and how you deploy things. Selfishly, I still have to pick the 49ers, and not because of the just the NFC North thing. I can't listen to Smith for 3 weeks. Again, it's sure. It's also a mental health kind of thing for me. The full-on, he picked the Lions to go to the Super Bowl, so psychologically, I'm bracing for that. Look, I think, and it's also, you know, and tongue firmly planted in cheek, guys, I like tradition in sport and in society. And last week, if everybody can bellyache about the death of Sports Illustrated, I can lament the fact that the Lions are suddenly winners. Right, I need some things to stay the same, especially again, maybe some of the Bears fandom mixed there in. So the Bills losing, and again, going back to 2017, remember the Bears made the trade to get Trubisky, right? Mm-hmm. What happened to that 10 spot, guys? The Bills traded it to the Chiefs. Yeah. So you got that going for you, which gets brought up a bunch. But look, I love the way the Lions play football. Right, I mean, we've been talking about it as a trio for years. Like, you give me smash mouth football and two running backs that can get after it, and an offensive line that is your MVP. Sign me up.
Yeah.
But for the purposes of this, I have to pick the 49ers for my own health.
Fantasy wise, I know Gibbs coming off of his outing is the hot play,
100%.
But I also like Montgomery in the physical aspect, because I do think that the Lions are going to want to test San Francisco. They're going to want to test that defense and try to use their physicality. I don't think that they want Goff dropping back, you know, 35, 40 times, and maybe you do have some success, but I do think that Montgomery could be a beast in all of this. The one scenario that I'm going back to is when the Philadelphia Eagles had the number one seed and Atlanta was the defending Super Bowl champs, and they came in NFC champs, excuse me, and played them in a tight game and went down in the final seconds, and Philadelphia ends up winning. And the Vikings come in with momentum from the Minneapolis Miracle, and it was just all Philadelphia that game. And I just wonder if Detroit, in what these 2 weeks of emotion took from them, and the 49ers are just like, all right, now it's time to turn it on. So my heart says Detroit, but I'm picking the 49ers to win. I'd love to see a rematch of the season opener, you know, Lions and Chiefs, but I'm going to rematch the Super Bowl 47 with the Ravens and Niners. All right, that's it. You guys want anything else? Anything else you forgot? Any odds and ends, tidbits we left on the table?
Oh, here was an odds and end. James Cook, as we mentioned in his game. So his did you guys see his rushing total? The over-under was 71.5 yards. And at halftime, he had 76 rushing yards. At the end of the game, he had 71.
Yeah, there you go.
In the second half, he was so bad that he fell under his rushing total, which is just wild.
Guys had already spent that at the bar. Here's my ticket. Give me that steak.
You want to know what it reminds me of? And Mike will remember this. You may as well burst, but in 2018, when the Browns were playing the Ravens, Nick Chubb crossed the 1,000-yard barrier his rookie season, but on a carry lost 5 yards at near the end of the game, and I believe it was against Baltimore, and ended up with 996. And prior to this year, it was the only season that Nick Chubb was under 1,000 yards in his career.
Wow.
I love, yeah, going backwards. He reached it that year. He just didn't stay there. Yeah. That's good enough for me.
Man.
All right, so that's it. And somehow we ended up talking about the Cleveland Browns. All right, so for Ryan Bershinger and Mike Harmon, I'm Dan Beyer. I think this may be our longest episode of the season. We'll be back next week getting you set for Super Bowl 58. And again, our top 60 draft pick draft coming up in just a few weeks. It's all here on I Want Your Flex. So for Ryan and Mike, I'm Dan. We'll talk to you next time. Enjoy the games. This is I Want Your Flex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.